Brainerd Center for the Performing Arts. This season's Summerfest benefit celebrates the 105th anniversary of Noel Coward's birth with excerpts from the play Private Lives and a cabaret performance of his songs. For more information about the benefit and the final weeks of the performances of The Glass Menagerie, Guilty Conscience, and Parfumery, visit KreinertCenter.com. AM 580 thanks Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors for its support of Focus 580. Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in Central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have back on the program Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's on the show once a month. It's always a Monday. And we talk about home improvement. So if you have some problem, something that needs to be fixed, you're thinking about making some changes, doing some remodeling, he knows a lot about single-family homes. And so we can talk about attics and basements and gutters and roofing and windows and doors and siding and insulation. And I'll stop there. You get the idea. Whatever's on your mind, to give us a call. And I know that he will see if he can help you out. 333-9455 is the number here for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that's 800-222-9455. Again, 333-WILL and toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Well, I think we're going to get some people here lined up pretty quick. Good to have you here once again.
Yeah, good to be back.
Is there anything in particular you'd like to chat about a little
bit? Well, we're about in the middle of the cooling season. Check the filters in your air conditioner. Make sure that they are clean. It's a fairly easy job to check an air conditioner to see whether it's working well or not. After it's been running a little while, stick a thermometer in front of a return air intake. Leave it there a couple minutes, then switch the thermometer to an outlet from the cooling system. It should drop, depending upon the age of your air conditioner. If your air conditioner is 5 or fewer years old, the temperature drop should be between 12 and 15 degrees. If it is older than that, it may be as high as 15 to 20 degrees drop. If it's more than 20, something is wrong. We're not getting enough air moving through the system. Either the filter is blocked, you've got too many outlets turned off, whatever. If you get much less than that, probably you ought to service the unit.
Okay.
Because it's not working very efficiently. And we have made such tremendous advances in the efficiency of air conditioners in the last 10 years that if you are the type of person who uses air conditioning a lot and your air conditioner is more than 10 years old, it would probably pay you to throw it away even if it works. In other words, we can reduce operating cost 40 to 50%. By replacing it with a new unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it always irks me to throw away something that works, but you know, these things are rated by SEER, Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio, and that number is essentially BTUs of cooling per watt of electricity. A unit that's more than 10 years old probably has an SEER of 6. Today, we are not allowed to manufacture anything less than 10. And as of January 1, 05, it's less than 12. Mm-hmm. So that would mean literally you cut the operating cost in half. So you have to weigh the costs. But if you use air conditioning a lot, it probably pays to get rid of the old one.
Okay. Well, we have several callers here ready to go. If you'd like to talk with Hank Spies, you can give us a call. But you're going to have to wait because the lines are full. We'll start right out with a caller in Urbana. Line number 2 right here. Hello.
Hi. The paint is peeling in my house in several places, on ceilings, on inside walls, in the closet. It's a house that's probably 90 years old. And it's coming off in great, huge, flat, thick chunks. I mean, just slabs.
Was this left unheated last year by any chance?
Well, not unheated, but pretty low.
Yeah. Probably you're not going to be able to do anything simple about that because it is a matter of the number of coats of paint, the temperature difference that was maintained. We oftentimes run into this when a house has been essentially left to go cold over the winter. And probably the easiest thing to do is to go back on over with another coating. There are several things on the market. A couple of companies produce a fiberglass scrim, which is glued to the wall and provides you with a new surface.
Fiberglass, what was the word?
Well, it's a scrim. It's a non-woven fiberglass fabric. You can find it advertised in the magazine Old House Journal. If you have a house that's 90 years old, you'll probably ought to be familiar with that one anyway.
Right.
And so there are several of those things available. They will even cover up where the top coat of plaster is coming off.
Do I have to check and see if it's lead-based? Am I supposed to scrape some of it off?
Well, as long as you're covering over it, it doesn't make any difference whether it's lead-based or not. If you are taking some of it off, then you, on a house that old, you make the assumption that it probably is lead-based.
Okay.
And treat it accordingly.
Can you suggest something good to read about dealing with lead-based paint and that kind of thing? Is there a good pamphlet or would there be a good article in Old House Journal?
Don't know, but if you will call my business number and leave your name and address, I'll send you something.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Just then, generally speaking, what's the if your home is going to be empty during the wintertime, say you're going away, you're going to Florida or something, what should you do in terms of what you do to
set
the place
thermostat at 50? Don't turn it off.
No, so no lower than that.
Right.
All right. So what happens in a case like the one that the caller
describes? Well, it's a matter
describes.
Of moisture, perhaps, and it may be the fact that the paint film is now stronger than the bond between the paint film and the wall.
Uh-huh.
So that when we get differential movement from changes in temperature, it no longer hangs on.
So that might also be an issue of many coats of paint.
Yes, right. Yes. In a house that's that old, probably has many coats of paint.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the lead is concerned, anything that was done before 1970 has a possibility of containing lead, although, generally speaking, the lead-based paint most frequently appeared in the trim paints rather than on the wall paints.
Mm.
Not that there wasn't some on wall paint, but you get very concerned with trim paints that were put on before then.
Okay. Well, let's go on here. Next caller is also in Urbana, line number 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a problem with squirrels that I've never had before. We've been here over 35 years and never seen this happen. A squirrel is chewing the paint off the faceboard around the garage door. And even if I repaint and prime and all that, the squirrel just continues to chew off that paint and the raw wood and is now even across the corner, so I have to try to remold the edge of the door frame. Have you any ideas about how to eliminate that problem?
Well, first of all, you get all your neighbors to quit feeding the squirrels.
In this neighborhood, that's an impossibility.
Secondly, you wait till they're gone and shoot them.
I hear you. David's BB gun solution.
I like a little rabbit problem myself, but that's another show.
All right, you call your good friends at the Humane Society and find out what they're going to do. There are companies that will trap them and remove them. The wildlife people are not necessarily happy about this, but you have to remember that a squirrel is nothing but a rat with fur on his tail.
Yeah, I know. Do you have any notion of why this would happen now after more than 35 years?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen this come up like that?
Yes. One of the most unusual ones is the one that the squirrel who chews off the lead flashing around the roof vents.
Wow.
And we only hope that he dies of lead poisoning.
There you go. Well, this is a serious problem, and I don't know what to do to keep it from happening.
I don't know either. As I say, the only solution I've found is trapping him and removing him.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information.
All right. Good luck. Let's continue here. We'll go next to a caller in Danville, and that would be line number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can aluminum siding be successfully painted?
Certainly. It needs to be washed first. Most of the paint companies will tell you to use their good latex paint. There are a couple of companies, including Pittsburgh, that makes a special paint for repainting aluminum siding, and we found that it works very well, quite durable.
How long can that be expected to last?
Oh, at least 10 years.
I see. All right, then. Thank you very much.
All right. And next we have a caller here in Martinsville, line number one. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Mm-hmm. Well, with the squirrel, I'd suggest putting some concrete board up temporarily and let him chew till his teeth fall out. But that's not too polite a way of doing it, I guess. Tell you what, Hank, I'm pouring a porch floor here sometime soon. I put some hot water tubing in it to melt the walkways, going to do the steps and things. Is there any rule of thumb to how large a boiler I would need? It's a 250-foot run. I'm only going to do approximately 250 square feet. How much water flow I should have?
No, I don't have any numbers at my fingertips on that. I am sure that the Hydronics Institute, which is out in New Jersey, which is the trade association of the boiler manufacturers, has such a thing. You might check them on their website.
Okay. Do you think, off the top of your head, a 40-gallon boiler using RV antifreeze and a 5-gallon-a-minute transfer pump would be more than adequate?
I think so. Now, you have to realize if you're going to keep snow off, you almost have to turn it on when it starts snowing.
I was thinking about when we knew we were having problems turning on a day ahead.
Yeah, because otherwise if the snow is already down and then you turn it on, it will bridge over. And that doesn't work well. We did some experiments with this in Urbana on a research house. And you really had to have it warm when it started snowing.
Well, I was thinking from our experience in the past, this will be really an icy mess. And I thought even if I got it on later, it would make it a lot easier scooping.
Yep, it certainly will.
If I had something 16 inches wide to walk down, that's going to be enough to kind of do what I need to do.
Right.
So, okay, well, that was it. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
On to a caller here on a cell phone. This is line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I'm calling because I have a problem in my basement. The water is infiltrating in the walls of my basement, in my foundation. So someone recommended to dig like a trench, it's called. I don't know. Dig something and to put pipes that drain water outside of my house. And I was wondering if you could recommend a good person who do this kind of job, landscaping and particularly doing this kind of job. Do you think you can recommend somebody on the radio right now?
No, not right. I don't do that on the radio right now. The real problem is getting the water, surface water, away from the foundation.
Yes.
We need to grade so that there is 6 inches of slope away from the foundation on all sides.
Uh-huh.
Virtually any of the local landscaping services are capable of doing this.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
This is the kind of thing that we talked about again and again. We have people who have a problem with moisture, sometimes with a lot of water in basements.
Right.
And your standard reminder to them is, first of all, that probably the water that's in the basement is the water that has come off their roof.
Yes.
And that what you need to do is make sure that you get it away from the house. I mean, that's what gutters and downspouts are for. But also the lay of the land around the house does make a difference, too.
Yeah. In this town, there's a great many builders who tend to produce flat lawns. And then the backfill around the foundation settles a little bit, and we now have a moat around the castle. And if the downspout fills it, believe me, you're going to end up with water in your basement or crawlspace. Yeah. And it really doesn't make any difference where it comes out in your basement. If you have a concrete block basement, the water can be getting into the wall anywhere and coming out someplace. I mean, I've had where I know it was coming out half a house away from where it was getting in, because water flows through concrete block walls lengthwise very nicely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first thing that you should do is make sure that your gutters are functioning as they should. And downspouts are far away from the house.
For a basement, the downspout should empty at least 5 feet away from the foundation. For crawl spaces, at least 3 feet. And then to a point where the water will keep going away, not mm-hmm. run back toward. And sometimes you have to, the way many of the installers put on gutters and downspouts, you have to saw 6 inches off the downspout so you can get enough slope on the extension for it to run away.
Yeah.
I see a tremendous number of downspout extensions that are virtually flat and don't work. As near as I can tell, it's because the gutter installer gets paid by the foot, so he runs it all the way to the ground. So that is a common problem, that the downspouts themselves are 6 or 8 inches too long, so we don't have enough slope on the extension to get the water away.
Okay. All right. Well, Hank Spies is with us this morning. He's here on the program every month. Always on a Monday, we talk about home maintenance. And if you have a question, you can call us 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. The next caller is in Urbana, line 3.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes.
These calls are going to be pretty much the same, but I called too about a water problem in my basement. And then for 2 years, I've tried to get on the list of a landscaper to regrade around a little place in my around my foundation. And what I found out is the people that do that, there's two in town that do that regrading. And even when I started calling in February and saying, "Now I want to be sure and be on your list," they want to go out to new construction and regrade. They don't want to do a little, you know, minus like a 12-foot run of the house. And so now, after 2 years of really working hard to get some landscaper to come do it, I realized that it's going to have to be my handyman. So I heard you say that up against the house, it should be 6 inches, a 6-inch slope. Is that like a 45-degree?
Oh, no. 6 inches and 10 feet. That's relatively flat.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you want to keep the dirt about 6 inches below the bottom of the siding.
Okay.
Otherwise, we have a concealed entry point for termites. We don't really want that either.
Okay, that's good. And also, there is a real dearth of anything written about this. It kind of stumped the reference librarian in Urbana. And I called Building Research Council, and they had nothing. Do you know of anything that's...
Well, I don't know what they have now. I know that when I was there, we put out a publication on gutters and downspouts that covered it. Whether it's still in print or not, I don't know.
Oh, well, I was asking for, I think, drainage or grading.
It's included in their gutters and downspouts.
Oh, okay. That sounds
publication.
Good. All right. The other thing is when you call these places and want dirt, they say, "Sure, we can deliver 8 cubic yards. Well, I figure I need about a cubic yard for this. And does that mean I just have to buy bag after bag after bag of dirt?
Well, that may be the cheapest way of doing it, actually.
Yeah. this is going to be an unprofessional. This is my handyman doing it and me trying to figure it out.
There are people who will deliver less than that. The problem is, of course, that it isn't the cost of the dirt, it's the cost of the trucking.
Right.
And you pay almost as much for 1 yard as you do for 6 or 8. So that when one of the local big box stores starts selling dirt at 80 or 90 cents a bag, that may be cheaper than having a truckload delivered.
Yeah, for sure. I think it would. Okay, thank you for your help.
All right, thank you. And the next person here would be Matt Toon. That's line 4. Hello.
Thank you, sir. I have fiberglass mats in my cold air returns. Is this a bad thing to have as far as the furnace and air conditioner are concerned and the effectiveness of their operation?
Well, it depends whether you keep them clean or not.
I see. So if they are clean, it's a good thing to have. Is that
Well, not necessarily. Why do you have them there? Why did you put them there?
I really don't know. They've been there so long, and on occasion we do remove them and clean them. But
we have a filter system at the furnace.
Yes, and it's a new furnace. It's a year and a half old.
Okay, and what kind of filter does it have, or do you know?
I think it has a pleated filter.
Okay, then I would dispense with the fiberglass thing. The only reason for putting that fiberglass in the discharge points is to keep kids from dropping stuff into the...
Oh, no, these are in the ceiling.
Okay, I would take them out.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
So there's no reason for having additional filters either where the air comes out or where the return
If you've
is.
Got a good filter, and the fact that she has a pleated one would indicate it's a pretty good filter, there's no point in having. As they say, to keep kids from dropping Legos and crayons down them, yes. Beyond that, no.
Okay. And then we'll continue. And next caller's in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
I would like to ask a question about attic ventilation.
Yes.
I have about a 25-year-old home. It it is a Dutch colonial. When it was built, it had two vents on the on either side of the house, on the north and the south side. Later, I had some passive vents, I guess you would call them, built in the flat part in the flatter part of the roof. That helped a great deal in terms of cooling down the attic, or at least the way it felt. I'm about to have my roof redone, and I talked to the roofer about retrofitting with soffit a ridge vent?
Yes.
And I just wonder if that's a good idea, given what I already have. I was wondering if that would add anything.
Well, particularly the soffit vents would.
The soffit vents would.
Now, a combination of soffit vents and ridge vents is probably the best we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that you already have these other vents up there, if you're going to re-roof, you can probably just close over them and put on the ridge vent, and that would do fine. But the soffit vents are going to be very important.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, the vents that we had installed later, they've been there about 10 years, there are three of them, and they're just big vents that are covered enough that it doesn't rain in, but that's all they are.
Mm-hmm.
Would the soffit ventilation help that part? I'm trying to figure out if the ridge ventilation would basically be nullified by what's already there, or would we have to close all those off? And would that be better?
The way the attic ventilates is that it heats up there and warm air rises as
right.
long as you can get air in at the bottom. So this is where your soffit vent comes in. It lets the air in at the bottom so it can go out the top.
Right.
Whether it goes out a ridge vent or some other type of vent is fairly immaterial. Ridge vent is usually easier and looks better. But I have nothing wrong with the other type of vents that you've installed, but you definitely need the soffit vents.
Okay, so if we just added the soffit part and not the ridge vent, that would, again, be a significant improvement.
Yes, it would.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you
All
very
right.
much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I think that this is also something we talked about in the past, that in terms of comfort levels and how hot it is on the second floor of a two-story house, attic ventilation can make a big difference, and there are probably a lot of particularly older houses that don't.
It depends on how much insulation is in the attic, but in the ceiling. But yes, if there isn't a lot of insulation in the ceiling, it can make a big difference. And the other thing is, if you have any air conditioning vents or whatever in the attic, that will make a big difference because we either need to insulate the vents and so on. We don't want the air that we paid to cool warmed up before we get it to the room.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's keep going here. Our next caller would be in Champaign, and that's line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
About the downspouts, I had the same problem at my house, and when I re-roofed, I put the new louver-type system on. I always had water that came in one corner of my house, and I had tried several different things trying to route the water away, but I put the new louvers on where it dispenses the water as it comes off the roof, and this seemed to work real well. In this heavy rain that we've had the last couple of weeks, I've not had any water in my basement.
Well, there's only one problem with those louvers. They don't get the water away from the foundation.
Well, I have rock and a drain underneath the rock that takes it away.
Okay, that's a whole different thing. Yes. Matter of fact, I don't have gutters on my house. I have a drained gravel bed under the drip edge, and that does very nicely.
Right. That's what I have. But before, I had the gutters, and they were extended out from the house several feet, but I still got water in the basement. But with this new louver system, I haven't had any.
Okay. As I say, with the drain gravel bed system, that's right. Now, the thing to have done probably, and probably wouldn't have made any difference, is to take the gutters off when you do put in a drain gravel bed. You don't use gutters at all.
Right. Well, that's what I've done now.
And that's essentially what you have done with this.
Right.
Whether they serve any function beyond that, I question, but as long as it's working, great.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much. So in this house of yours that has no gutters, what do you got over the front door?
Little porch projection.
Oh, okay. So you don't have water coming down on your head when you're standing there at the front
door. I have a 4-foot wide overhang on that.
Okay. Okay. Oh, all right then. Well, no problem. Very good. Our guest this morning, Hank Spies. You got questions, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Next, we have a caller in Urbana, and this would be line 3. Hello.
Hi. I have a crack in my ceiling, and I'm not sure if I can just go up there and patch it up, or if I actually have to cut the drywall down and have a new sheet installed.
How wide is the crack?
Well, it's about, I would say, half an inch.
Better start figuring out why it happened in the first place. Something had to have moved to get a crack that wide.
If the house has settled a bit, is it possible that...
How old is the house?
Well, it's 40 years old.
That sounds as though we've got some structural members that are crushing or something or other that's letting things move.
Okay.
Fixing the crack is not the problem. The problem is finding out why it cracked.
Right, right. Well, I'm pretty convinced that it isn't a water issue because I've never had any water
it's
issues.
It's quite possible that it's not a water issue. What do you have stored in the attic?
Well, there is no attic, actually. I mean, it's just a very small space. The roof has a slight slant to it as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as I say, I'd be looking for a structural problem as to why it moved a half an inch, because a half inch is not any kind of a normal movement.
And the structural problem would exist somewhere within the bottom structure that keeps
it could be either underneath or it could be in the attic.
Okay. All right. And do you have any recommendations how I should proceed with this? Is this something that I can investigate myself or?
Probably. It all depends on what it is, where it is, and how much you know about house construction.
If I go in the crawl space, is there anything in particular I should be looking for? And then if I go up on the roof, is there anything in particular I should be looking for?
In the crawl space, we're looking for wood that has rotted or crushed for some reason, termites, whatever. On the attic, they're not going to see much from on the roof. It'll be the space in between the ceiling and the roof.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a lot of things to look at in the crawl space, but mainly do we have any members that are floor joists that are crushing where they sit on the plate? Do we have any crushing in girders? Do we have anything that is allowing things to move?
All right. Thanks very much, Mr. Spies.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Next is Champagne, line number 1. Hello.
Hi, yes. I have a furnace and a water heater and an interior closet/room, and I'm wondering what size venting do I need in the doors to allow for fresh air intake to them?
Okay, there's supposed to be 2 square inches of vent space for every 1,000 BTUs total burner in there.
Okay.
So if you take the number of BTUs on the burner on the furnace and that on the water heater, add them together, 2 square inches per 1,000, and half of this ventilation should be near the top of the room and half at the bottom.
Okay. So I can't just put, and it's actually a double door to the closet, and so I can't just put, you know, vents down at the bottom on each door?
Is this on a basement or crawl space?
It's on a slab.
On a slab. The codes today would require that you run a duct up into the attic, into that room, and have outlets at both ceiling and floor.
Okay. Okay, very good.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Next is Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
About the lady that was calling about trying to get some black dirt, did she say she lived in Urbana, or did she say?
I don't believe she said.
Oh, okay. Well, if she wants some free black dirt, there's a house on Washington Street in Urbana that has a huge pile of free black dirt. It's about two blocks west of Ray Street on Washington Street. So I hope she's listening and she can go get some.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Otherwise, I guess if you just got to buy that much black dirt, what you do is you go to all your neighbors and say, could you use some dirt?
Yet sometimes works.
And she just spread it around the block, you know,
right.
See if you can find other people who want just a little bit. To Charleston next, line number four. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I have, I live in a 100-year-old plus home, and we have a full attic and a full basement. In the basement, there is a lot of concrete, but behind our furnace is a lot of dirt, so it's not completely finished. Mm-hmm. And especially now with all the rain, when you walk in our house in the front door, our house has more than its normal old house, funky, kind of musty smell. And I can tell that it's coming from the basement, mm-hmm. and it's like wet dirt or 100-year-old wet dirt or something. Is there something we can do to kind of...
Basically, you cover all that dirt with a sheet of plastic.
Okay.
Get some 6-mil poly, attach it to the frame above it, bring it down all the way down into the floor, and cover it, because what's happening is you are getting moisture evaporating from this dirt surface, uh-huh. and that is raising the humidity in the house and causing the problems you describe. So if you just go in with a sheet of 6-mil plastic, cover it completely, anchor it down with a clod or a couple of rocks at the edges and so on, I think you'll find that that will help considerably.
Okay. Is there any use in getting a dehumidifier downstairs?
Certainly.
That would help also?
Yes. Do you run air conditioning?
Yes.
Okay. The your central air is the best dehumidifier you can buy.
Oh, okay.
So if we can keep the moisture from evaporating into the basement, the central air will probably take care of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And again, we go to another caller here. This is St. Joe, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
We just bought a house recently, and the exterior of it is the wood siding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been painted over, I don't know how many times. The house is 50 years old, but I've noticed that it's peeling off in places about a foot long or more in some places. It's bubbling off right down to the bare wood. How does the person go about preparing that and then painting it again and so on?
Well, you scrape it down to bare wood, put a latex-based primer on, but basically this is an indication that there's a humidity or water problem.
Okay, and, well, there's blown insulation in the walls,
yeah.
And I've never had a house with that in it. I don't know if that could be causing
on,
a moisture
on
problem.
Basement or crawl space?
It's on a pretty tall crawl space, about a 4-foot tall crawl space.
And is the entire dirt surface down there covered with plastic?
Yes, it is, actually, with some gravel on top of that. And they've gone and put a foam board around the foundation also.
Okay, you I was with you until you said they put gravel on top of it.
Oh, and there's a foam board around the inside of the foundation.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's very good. Now, the problem is they should not have put the gravel.
Oh.
Because if you get any water down there, the gravel will keep the plastic from floating. Amazingly enough, if you don't have it ballasted, it floats. And so then the water gets on top of the plastic, and then it evaporates into the house and blows paint off.
Oh, okay.
So you may help the situation significantly by putting down a new layer of plastic, overly gravel. But before you do so, take a screwdriver or something or other and just perforate the heck out of the plastic that's under the gravel.
Oh, okay. And then you said for the painting part, just scrape it down to the bare wood and do a good latex primer on it?
Right. And when you take it down to bare wood and you go to put the primer on, take a little power hand sander or something or other and just touch sand that bare wood within an hour or two of the time that you're going to prime it, because the sunlight on bare wood deteriorates the cells on the surface of the wood, and so the paint sticks to them, but they may not stick to the cells underneath it. So what we want essentially is a fresh surface to paint. And what I've usually done, I have a little hand sander that I put about number 80 grit paper on, just zip, zip, zip across there and get that surface layer of wood cells off. And then it made all the difference in the world. We did that in one half of the house, and the other half the contractor didn't, and his side came off and mine didn't.
Well, that sounds like a good trick to know then. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, okay. Thank you. We have about 15 minutes left in this first hour, Focus 580, with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He is on the program once a month, always on a Monday, and we take these kind of questions. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Next is Champagne, line 2. Hello.
Hi, yeah, thanks for the program. I just tuned in, so you may have covered this before. As I understand it now, there is some sort of guttering that will be basically foolproof, work in all types of weather, will not ice jam, will not collect leaves, etc. Is that true? And if so, what can you tell me about it?
Well, more or less. There are multiple varieties of these on the market at multiple prices. I've seen prices quoted as high as $16 a running foot, other prices less than half that. They do tend to keep the leaves out and do a pretty good job of that. I don't know of any system that is 100% proof against dirt, and so it is better if the system is hinged or otherwise you can clean out maybe once in every 5 or so years any crud that may have gotten in the bottom of the gutter. But, yes, they do work and work quite well. They will take the leaves on off. Basically, it's a matter of putting a cover over the gutter that is tucked under the bottom row of shingles. And it extends completely over the gutter and has a rounded edge out there. So it's designed like a poorly done pitcher spout so that the surface tension of the water causes it to curl around back and run into the front of the gutter rather than the back. And then all of the leaves, trash, twigs, etc., go on off. So because it's a matter of using the surface tension of the water to pull it back into the gutter. If you will call my business number, leave your name and address, I'll send you a sheet on them.
Okay, but there's no problem with ice damming?
No, they aren't the cause of ice damming. The cause of ice damming is completely different. Basically, you have a certain amount of heat that is escaping from the house into the attic. It is melting the snow on the roof that's sitting right on the shingles. When you get out to the overhang, there's no longer any heat under there, and it refreezes and forms the ice dam. Gutters really have nothing to do with ice dams. A completely different problem.
Okay, but this wouldn't exacerbate it by providing some sort of cover.
No.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thanks. Just out of curiosity, how we think about the importance of attic venting probably mostly in the summertime to bring down the temperature in the attic. What happens during the wintertime? Does that make much difference?
Well, actually, we need ventilation in the wintertime worse than we do in the summer because we want to get the moisture out of the attic. And the coldest surface in your house, generally speaking, is the bottom of the roof.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, moisture condenses on any cold surface.
Right.
So what we have to do is ventilate enough to get the moisture out of the attic in the wintertime. which is why one of these thermostatic fans doesn't work very well because it never gets hot enough to run in the wintertime. And so that is the critical item. And, yes, I've seen people who block the vents in the wintertime, which is, of course, absolutely the worst thing you can do, and this sort of thing. Now, the only solution that I know of for ice dams is when you are re-roofing, we put in what we call an eave flashing. Basically, this is an adhesive-backed waterproof sheet that starts at the edge of the roof and goes up the roof to a point about 2 feet up the roof from where the water wall would project against the roof, so that if water accumulates behind an ice dam, it can't get back under the shingles and drip into the house. And that's, as I say, it's another whole problem when we get into heavy snow areas, the ski areas, and so on. We cover the entire roof under the shingles with this waterproof membrane,
mm-hmm.
because there's no way of keeping it from happening. But here, as I've done in my house, it starts at the roof edge and goes back about 4 feet up the roof, and then I've never had any problem with it after that.
All right. We'll go next. We have a couple of people in Savoy. First person there is line number 3. Hello.
Hello. Having a hard time maintaining temperature in my home. It's less than 10 years old. I have an electronic thermostat that's about 2 years old. But when it's set at 74, it's too cold. And when it gets to 75, it's too hot.
Replace thermostat.
Yeah, okay. I suspected, but I figured I'd have to check first.
A lot depends on exactly what kind of a sensing element it has in it. And some of these things are very sensitive as to being installed level. The other thing is, the industry tried it once and it didn't work, and that is you take all the degree markings off of it. You just have markings so you reference, and you set it where you are comfortable. It doesn't make any difference what the numbers are. And go from there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, well, here is another Savoy caller. It's line number 1. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
This is another roofing question. Our house is on the south side of the street, faces the street. On the south slope of the roof, the shingles are curling. On the other side, they are not.
How old are the, is the roof?
Something around 10 years. But it's it did that. It's the shingles have curled some, within 3 or 4 years after.
Okay, is this one layer of shingles or is this a second layer?
It's one layer. They took all the old ones off.
Okay. You will get more curling on the south side because of the sun.
This is
heat,
not
overheating.
I said that wrong. I'm getting the curling on the north side rather than the south side.
Okay. In that case, check in the attic for any signs of moisture. As we were just talking about the attic ventilation in the wintertime. On the north side where the sun doesn't drive out the moisture, we may be accumulating moisture in the roof ceiling, and that's causing the shingles to curl.
I see.
So the thing to do is on a cold day, stick their head up in the attic and see if there are little balls of frost on the nail point sticking through on that north side, or if there's any frost on the bottom of the roof ceiling, which would indicate that you have too high humidity in the attic.
Well, that could be. However, we have a ridge vent the whole length of the roof.
Uh-huh. Do you have continuous soffit vents, too?
Pardon me?
Do you have continuous vents in the overhang, too?
Probably not continuous vents, but there are...
Well, as I say, basically, look for any signs of moisture in the wintertime. If you have a moisture problem on that north side, it may appear as frost on the bottom of the sheathing. It may appear as balls of frost on the nail points, or even a drop of water hanging from the nail points on that side. And that would indicate that we have a moisture problem, and it sounds as though your roof is getting a moisture problem a good portion of the year.
Does it make any difference? There's a lot of insulation. This is an all-electric house. There's a lot of insulation up there. You know, not on the roof. But,
yeah.
And but it and well, then we have baseboard heating. So
right. That the only thing that would concern me there is whether, if you have vents in the soffits, whether they put in air chutes to get the air past the insulation.
They were supposed to.
They were supposed to. Okay.
They charged me for it.
Okay.
Not when they, the roofers didn't. They did this when they put the, we blew in some extra insulation.
Okay.
And they had these fiberglass chutes that they.
Right.
That they
right.
put down between the rafters.
Okay, that should do it. Your house on a basement or crawl?
Crawl space.
All the ground surface covered?
Oh, yeah.
With plastic?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was...
Okay, well, as I say...
The other thing is the sidewalls are covered with, you know, regular fiberglass insulation like you would put...
Mm-hmm.
And I've wondered about that. When we moved here, it was getting close to 20 years ago, they recommended they do that. But I'm wondering about it's a nice hiding place for termites.
Well, they've got to come in from the bottom, so you should be checking in the crawl space for them.
They have to come in from the bottom, but see, that piece comes down and covers about a foot of the floor of the crawl space. It's lapped over the plastic that's...
Yeah. Okay, so you... But the problem would show up in the banjoist area.
What you're saying is that if I lift that stuff up and I can't see any evidence of them, why... They're not above that.
In all probability, not. Where you usually see them is the band joist, the space between the plate on the top of the foundation and the bottom of the floor.
Okay, that's the.
That's where you've
say
got.
Say that again.
It's the band joist. It's between the top of the foundation and the bottom of the floor.
Top of the foundation and the bottom of the floor.
Right.
Okay. Thank
all
you.
Right, very good. We'll see if we can get in some more folks here and in the time that remains. Southern Illinois, someone there next. Line number 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Hi, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was calling about, I saw a couple years ago an air conditioning unit that attaches to the wall and not a window, a freestanding thing. Is that for Western states or?
Well, it all depends. You've got to be able to exhaust the heat from someplace. So there has to be a hole in the wall or something to, it doesn't have to be a window. We just have to be able to get rid of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are evaporative coolers, but they don't usually go there. And yes, they don't work here.
I think that's what I was looking at. And that's for Western, the dry.
Yeah. It you have to be in an area with low humidity, and that's certainly not us.
Okay. I was also wondering, for home inspection, is there classes that you go to or
yes,
school?
There are. And as a matter of fact, the state of Illinois requires that you be licensed, and you do so, you take an exam and so on. But there are, I think about a dozen schools accredited by the state that you have to go through one of those before you take the exam.
And where are they? How could I...
You can get on the website of the Office of Real Estate in the state of Illinois, and they have a listing of them.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. And one more thing. When you say that the drainage slope away from the house, if you have a crawl space, should be 3 feet, is that per 100?
No. The 3 feet is the extension on the downspouts.
On the downspouts, okay.
And what the slope on any house, you should have 6 inches of slope in the first 10 feet.
6 inches in the first 10. All right. You're so wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. We'll try maybe get one more. Bales Lake, line number 2. Hello.
Yes, hello. Thanks for this opportunity. So wonderful, this program. One of the most favorites. I have a house, and it has two levels. And this seems to be the roof questions, and mine are in reference to roof too. They are flat, and the problem is water standing in the roof up at the second level of the house. There are no gutters, and the water was supposed to go to a drain, but now it since the roof sag, the water stands, and then the excess comes over like in a waterfall about 10 feet wide, and then comes over to the first level. And then in the first level, there are gutters, but water stands on that second flat roof as well. And then the gutters on the first level of the house are not sufficient to carry out the water, so all the excess water of the second floor and the water from the first floor then come over another waterfall, and then it's about 10 feet as well. Is there a way to slope a little bit the flat roof?
Yes. When you re-roof, you make a tapered insulation. Use a foam board that is tapered so that you can establish a little bit of a slope so that it will drain.
So a professional roofer would be able to do that?
Yes.
How do you know when the roofers are honest and they're giving you the estimate that it is that they are not trying to tell you more, that you need more? I had several estimates, but they want to re-roof, and it's only 4 years old, so there's no leaking, there's nothing, there's no problem with the roof itself, but they want to do that. Now, is that the only option to redo
it? I'll tell you, flat roofs are a specialty all unto themselves, and I have a specialist that I work with who does nothing but flat roofs in terms of figuring out the problems and what to do with them. And again, if you will call my office number, 356-5048, I will give you some information on how to get in touch with him. 356-5048.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you. We're going to have to leave it at that because we're used up our time. Hank will be back next month. We'll do it again. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's here on the program once a month, always a Monday, to do these shows. We thank Champaign Danville Overhead Doors for its support of the show. Champaign Danville Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates. Focus is also made possible with support from the Art Mart in Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois. We're going to break for an update on the markets and news, then we'll be back, so stay tuned.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from